Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, let us hear the word of God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and heavenly Father, you have been so merciful to provide us this day the bread of the earth. But Heavenly Father, now we ask for the bread of heaven, that you will feed us with your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It was the custom in the ancient Near East that when a king or a ruler, a dignitary, was to be introduced to the community, his name would include many characteristics, many superlatives to describe the royal individual. We have an example of this in the book of Acts, chapter 24, when Governor Felix, when he makes his appearance on the scene, he is addressed as the most excellent one. This was just simple proper protocol in addressing all dignitaries and addressing all royalty in the ancient Near East. This was done for adults. It was also done for their children. When a child of royalty was born, a birth announcement would be sent out throughout the empire. And along with that birth announcement, there would be royal attributes, superlatives, that would be added on to the child's name. And these names, these characteristics then would be expected of the child as he matured into an adult. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is such a royal birth announcement, with royal attributes, royal superlatives. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You see, in our culture, when a child is born, we send out a birth announcement. We put in the birth announcement the height and the weight of the child. But in the ancient Near East, they would not put the height and the weight of the child. They would add on these superlatives to the child's name. And that's what we find here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And there are four royal names that will be given to this child. And since God, through the Holy Spirit, led Isaiah to write these things down for us, then we must understand that what the Holy Spirit leads the prophet to write is not just an empty title, but it is what the child is and what the child will accomplish in his life. Well, the first is that the child will be called Wonderful Counselor. The word wonderful here signifies a miracle or a secret, a work that is beyond our understanding of a mere creature. God is able to work miracles, and it is because he is not limited by the laws of physics and the laws of chemistry. He himself created these laws, but he is not limited by those laws. He can enter into the created world when he wants to. He can even submit himself to the laws of the created world when he so desires. He can eat a meal with Abraham. He can get tired and sleepy, as Jesus did. But he's never limited by the laws of nature. He is above creation, yet he can and does enter into creation to do whatever he pleases. What we call the laws of nature, he is not subject to. And when he works outside the laws of nature, we call it a miracle. The psalmist agrees with this. In Psalm 77, the psalmist writes, "You are a God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people." Moses writes, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders?" Moses says that miracles point to a miraculous God. A God who is beyond our understanding. Our God is infinite. He is incomprehensible. You cannot fully understand him. You cannot fully know him. Do you understand the wind? Do you know where it comes from and where it goes? Nobody does. In the same way, you cannot fully understand the one who created the wind and guides the wind and controls the wind. Thus, because God is incomprehensible, so the first name of this child that is to be born is a name that signifies the child will be incomprehensible. It is a name above all names, the name Wonderful signifies that this child will not only work miracles, but that this child will be a miracle in himself. Though he will appear to be finite, he will in reality be infinite. Though he will be like us in our human nature, yet he will be beyond our comprehension in his divine nature. And though he is wonderfully incomprehensible, though he is a miraculous person, yet he's also called Counselor. What's the purpose of a counselor? Well, the purpose or responsibility of a counselor is to give counsel. It's to give wisdom. It is to give advice. When you go to a counselor, that's why you go. This child who is incomprehensible, one of the things that he will do is that he will reveal and make known the wonder of God himself. He will make known the wisdom of God for your life. The Apostle John writes the words of Jesus. And Jesus says, "No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only begotten, who is at the Father's side, has made him known to us." God the Son makes known to us God the Father. He reveals to us God the Father. Again, Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." The second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, he takes upon himself the flesh of man for the very purpose of revealing to us God himself. When God was going to write the Ten Commandments, he told Moses to come to the mountain. But he told Moses, tell everybody else, stay away. Don't even let the sheep and the cattle come up here. Everybody is to stay away. And so then the glory of God descended upon the mountain. And Moses writes for us that it was so terrifying that even Moses himself couldn't stand it. The people were scared literally to death. And they said to Moses, don't have God appear to us anymore. Have God appoint someone to teach us everything that God wants us to know. Well, Moses told that to God, and God said, you know, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. So God told Moses, I will send a prophet among you, and he will reveal everything there is to know. That prophet is Jesus Christ. He is the miraculous one. He is the counselor. He is the one who teaches us everything we need to know for our life, everything we need to know about the character of God, everything we need to know for the glory of God. You cannot know God the Father unless you spend time with God the Son. The great eternal counsels of heaven that were put in place by the triune God, by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These great and wonderful eternal counsels and covenants, they are revealed to us by Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit in the printed word. If you want to know the power of God, you need to know the power of Jesus. If you want to know the wisdom of God, you need to know the wisdom of Christ. If you want to know the compassion and the love of God, read about the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. I remember thinking to myself years and years ago, why did Jesus heal the sick? Why did Jesus cast out demons? You know, he didn't have to do that. Those things were not essential to our salvation. In other words, Jesus didn't have to heal the sick in order to save us from our sins. He didn't have to do that. Why did he do that? And then I ran across this scripture that says, because Jesus had compassion upon them. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He cast out demons. Not because he had to, but because he had compassion upon them. And as you understand the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ, you begin to then understand the love and the compassion of God the Father for you. He's also called the light of the world, a light that makes that which is in darkness visible to us. You get up in the middle of the night, you're looking for something, you can't see it, what do? You turn the light on. The light allows you to see. Jesus is called the light of the world. He is the Word of God made flesh. And you see, words reveal thoughts. Christ, by becoming a man, he reveals the thoughts of God. All we need to know for salvation purposes, all we need to know about how we live our life is found in the life of Christ. Who could have imagined? Who could have imagined that the Creator would become a creature? Who would have thought that the Ancient of Days, the one who is eternal, would be given only a limited number of days? Who would have thought that the eternal Holy God would give up His life for unholy sinners? Who could have imagined that man, who could never repay God, that we could never repay God, yet God paid our debt for us? In all of the ways of mankind, the idea of going to heaven is by our good works. But who could have ever imagined that our good works would be as filthy as rags, but it would be the good works of God who would save us? Who could have ever conceived that heaven would come down to earth in order to bring earth up to heaven? Who could have ever imagined that we would be saved by grace through faith, and that faith is not of ourselves, but it is a gift from God? No one could have ever known these things unless they were revealed to us by the wonderful Counselor. It is by Christ being the wonderful Counselor that the truth of the gospel is revealed to us. We believe because He gave us the gift of believing. He opened our eyes. He opened our hearts. He opened our ears to the gospel. He is the wonderful Counselor. He's also going to be called Almighty God, as He has the wisdom of the wonderful Counselor. He will also have the power and the strength of the Almighty God. What this means is that though He is the wonderful Counselor, He Himself is not in need of counsel. He is self-sufficient. He's not in need of anything outside of Himself to exist. He doesn't get hungry. He doesn't get thirsty. He doesn't get tired. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He knows all things, and He has the power to do whatever He pleases. He commands the wind and the waves, the heat and the cold are His servants. He commands one to go, and the cold air goes. He commands the heat, go, and the heat goes. What He commands comes to pass. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all those who live therein belong to Him. If there is a king on the throne, it is because He placed that king there. Thus, He is the Almighty God. He creates, He sustains the whole world to accomplish that which was decreed from all eternity. He is the Almighty God. Oh, but He's also everlasting. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He is from everlasting to everlasting. There has never been a time when he was not, and there will never be a time when he is not. But not only is he everlasting, oh, but my friend, he is the everlasting Father. See, this reveals his attitude towards us. This reveals his attitude towards us. The wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, everlasting, and in all of these superlatives, in all of these characteristics, he is a Father to us. This reveals his relationship to you. Though he is the everlasting God, though he is the everlasting King, though he is the everlasting Judge, he is not revealed to you with those terms. Instead, he is revealed to you as the everlasting Father. This shows his intent from all eternity to be a Father to you, to be good to you, to work all things not only to his glory, but to the good of those who love him. As the psalmist says in Psalm 121, he will never sleep, he will never slumber. He is always awake, protecting us from that which could harm us. You know, our earthly fathers are subject to death. I lost my dad about a year and a half ago. But not our everlasting Father. He is not subject to death. But he is always sitting on the throne, watching over the entire creation, working the entire creation to his glory and to the good of the church. He has decided that he will not live without you and that you will not live without him. He feeds you. He protects you. Each day we live upon his goodness to us as Father. It is in him that we move, live, and have our being. He is not subject to death, nor will he ever change his mind in dealing with you, because he is your everlasting Father. He loves you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And then lastly, he is called the Prince of Peace. A prince is one of power, one of privilege. Thus, a Prince of Peace is one who has the power and the privilege to speak, establish, and maintain peace in his kingdom. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, has established peace between you and God the Father. Romans 5 tells us, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, Christ is our peace. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to you who were near. Through him we have peace and access to the Father through the Spirit. At one time we were the enemies of God. At one time, we were at war against his kingdom. But now we have been brought into the kingdom. And peace has been established between us and God the Father through the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. In him, we have a peace that passes all understanding. You know, when we're in a difficult situation, when providence is not smiling upon us and things don't seem to be going our way, we can cast our fears aside because we know that our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, has actually brought this difficult providence into your life for the purpose of helping you understand the grace that has been poured out upon you. As long as we understand we are self-sufficient, we will not understand the sufficiency of God's grace. So there are times in our life, providences of God, where you get to experience your weakness, your vulnerability, your stupidity. Oh, it's never a good time. No, it don't feel good. But my friend, as you come to know the depth of your sin, you will also come to know the width and the depth and the length of God's love for you. That where you sin, God's grace to you abounds even more. Such are the royal names of the Messiah. This is the God who has created us, the God who has redeemed us, the God who sustains us. This is the God, our God, whom we adore. As the pillar of cloud, which was a theophany of Jesus Christ, led the Israelites through the desert, Jesus Christ is leading us through the desert of this life and taking us to the promised land. His greatness and goodness, His glory and grace, when once come to understand, will lead us to worship Him, and bow before Him, and praise Him. At this Christmas season, let us be reminded of the great birth announcement that is given. For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is given. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercies unto us. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And Heavenly Father, as we now prepare for the sacrament, let our hearts be prepared to glorify you, to love you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. To prepare ourselves for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, let us stand and sing hymn number 87. Hymn number 87, stanzas 1 through 4 only. Stanzas 1 through 4 of hymn number 87.